The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
CIO Talk Radio is sponsored by HP Data Center Services, Cloud Computing Services, and Workplace 360 Services. Are you ready for an instant-on world?
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Very good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is, so you need to outsource your workplace IT. And our guests for today's show are Peter Schuhaus, who's the CIO with AkzoNobel. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thanks. Things are good here in Europe.
Great. And so how's the weather there?
The world is holding out nicely. Actually, we had the best week this year, just last week. So we had a late summer.
So you had still been working hard, or you got a chance to get some sunshine too?
Unfortunately, I've been working hard.
Uh-oh. All right. So we also have Lionel Lamy, who's the research director with European Software and Services, IDC. Good morning, Lionel.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you very much. Very well.
So are you going to disappoint me by saying that you still are working hard with such a beautiful weather there?
It was beautiful last week. I live in Scotland, so it's not great today. So I'm still working hard, yes.
So then you have an excuse to work harder, huh?
I usually work hard. I have no excuse for it.
All right. So the topic that we picked up today is the fact many organizations do want to outsource their workplace IT, and they find the value in it. It may be non-core for them and for other reasons. Now, many times that very journey looks a little intimidating. So if that were to be looked at from an objective point of view across the industry or people who have lived that journey, that's what we want to bring to the table to see if we can share some inputs and ideas about how to make outsourcing of your workplace IT successful. So with respect to be looking at the workplace IT management overall, do you think it is a proven concept already that you have to move in outsourcing of all of your workplace IT, or would you say that you have to do start small and then grow towards go all the way? Peter, let's start with you.
Yeah, so companies have been commoditizing parts of their infrastructure for a long time. Some have started with telecommunications, with data centers, with other parts. And as you commoditize and you try to leverage the full scale of your company and really make it as efficient as possible to manage it, obviously, at some point in time, the next level of leverage and of economy of scale could be outsourcing. In general, I've always been in favor of taking steps, so not going all out in one big deal, but maybe doing data centers, doing telecommunications, taking the desktop one by one. These are significant projects. They're visible. If things go wrong, they're very, very visible, which, of course, is very painful, and you try to avoid. So I think there's natural blocks in your environment that you want to approach one by one. But in general, I'm a very big fan of trying to commoditize infrastructure and then seriously look at outsourcing. And especially lately, of course, with cloud type of solutions, I think the question you just asked is even more appropriate.
Now, Lionel, when you look at across the industry landscape, do you think people have started already taking steps towards outsourcing their workplace IT for the most part? And are they trying to do it in bite size or going all the way?
when you look at it from a long-term perspective, I think it really depends on the maturity of the company, of the corporation you're talking about. There are some companies who have outsourced for, you know, a couple of decades, maybe longer, part of their data center or their full data center operation. Others have outsourced the entire IT function. So there's no right and wrong answer in a sense. But yes, overall, given the speed of IT and the pace of change within the IT industry and the impact on the corporations, more and more companies are now really looking to outsourcing to bring them benefits, because it's very difficult internally to really support the company, support the growth of the company in a very, very effective way. And at the same time, vendors providing IT outsourcing are getting more and more experienced and more and more efficient at providing the solutions.
Now, with that said, Peter, in your world, when you did get started with this, what was the ifs and buts that you were trying to answer, knowing that the intent it is to basically get it done and get it done successfully? What were some of those challenges that you listed out and say, I got to get answers to these questions, I got to get over these humps before I can say that, yes, I'm all well on my way in this journey?
Well, obviously, you need to develop a level of comfort over time that the provider is really doing you a favor and providing a good service. And it's very hard up front to get a good feeling for how good they are and how good the service will actually be. And, of course, you'll do reference calls and you do all the work in contracts and create flexibility and such. But it's almost like applying for a new job. Right? I mean, you can check all the boxes with your resume, make sure you have all the experience and all the prerequisites. But at the end of the day, people, you know, the most important thing about a job is the culture, the boss you work for, the personality, etc. It is somewhat similar in outsourcing. I think developing finding the right person and developing the right relationship together is essential. And you have to do as much upfront work as you can, but a lot of it hinges on really staying involved, being involved, and putting the right amount of resource to it from the customer side as well. So having service delivery managers, having all kind of operational contacts freed up to enable the transition and enable the service delivery.
So as you rightly said, like any other type of outsourcing, even if you take as an example, it has been traditionally seen that it is not only a provider's responsibility to make an outsourcing engagement successful. In fact, it is more tilted towards what the customer, how the customer works with the provider in order to make this successful. So talking about that, if you were to write, say, a checklist of a number of things that you ought to do as a customer for you to basically be successful with outsourcing of your workplace IT, what would be the top three or four items there?
Well, for me, the topmost item would be ensuring that we have the ability to engage and support as much as they do. So making sure we have dedicated people and people availability for the transition and the first period of service delivery, because that's essential. Other than that, I think obviously you're not going to go to contractual terms and conditions as a last resort. So you got to make sure that you have the right contacts within the company. We have some examples where we go all the way up to board level, and really you don't need it that often, of course. But you do want to make sure that you get the right attention and you get, you're really kind of a reference customer. And basically, in many of our outsourcing agreements, we try to be reference customers, because as a reference customer, you do get a little bit more attention and a little bit more, you're a little bit more noted than as just another of the thousand or a couple thousand customers they may have.
Lionel, in your experience and what you hear in the marketplace, what are some of the good and bad things that a customer could do which would jeopardize this outsourcing initiative with respect to workplace IT, whether it's in preparation or in execution?
For me, the bad things would be to decide to outsource just because you have a problem and say, okay, I'll just leave that problem to someone else and let them fix it. So it's, in a sense, it's, you know, giving all responsibility to someone else without you being involved at all, or committed. And it goes really to what Peter was saying in terms of you, you know, as a company, as a customer, putting the effort. Companies, corporations who don't do that tend to fail because they're, you know, they just give the problem to someone else and they just want them to fix it without investing time in understanding why there was a problem in the first place. What you can do well on the other side, is again, goes to what Peter was saying, is really viewing this outsourcing relationship as a partnership. It really should not be viewed, and I know it may sound surprising to some, but some of the listeners, it should not be viewed as a client-supplier relationship. It's a long-term commitment for the company to outsource either all of workplace IT or part of workplace IT, and it really should be a partnership, and that should form the basis of the decision you make in terms of who to choose for you know, to be the provider of that outsourcing service. And it should not, because of that, it should not solely be based on, you know, who's got the cheapest service, who's got the best SLAs. It's really a combination of, you know, service level agreements, a combination of cost, a combination of flexibility of service. All of these wrapped together with the view that you are making during your due diligence as to who is the best fit for your company, which supplier is going to be the best, as far as you're concerned, to work with you over the next few years. It's really a multi-annual relationship.
So, Peter, if you meet any of your counterparts in another company who is equally interested in outsourcing workplace IT, and if you had to give them some guidance with respect to what is it that they should do as the first few things when they are embarking upon this journey, and look internally before even if they have contacted a specific vendor or start going through the vendor evaluation process, what is it that you would like them to do first?
You know, I think it would be very valuable to reach out to your peers, to maybe, you know, and maybe other platforms like CIO Radio or Gartner, et cetera, to get a feeling for who's who in the marketplace if you don't know it already. You know, many will, though, but I think, again, the relationship, since it's so important, you really don't want to be as arrogant to think that you can just define the requirements, send out an RFP, and take the cheapest. Because when you, once you take the cheapest, you know, you probably don't get the best. And, you know, that's no matter how tight you try to specify it. And, of course, cost is always a consideration. But really getting a successful project, making sure that you're on time, et cetera, at the end of the day is going to be as valuable, if not more valuable. So I think getting some experience from other people, making sure you get the right people on the team, on your end, but also on the provider end, and really interviewing the provider's proposed team to make sure you have people who have done this before, who have, kind of know the ropes, and also who are the right people that fit with your organization is going to be essential. So don't hesitate to try and ask for, you know, to ask for another project manager or ask for another specialist or expert if that person just doesn't work for you.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages. And Lionel, I'll come back to you and ask perhaps if you could share some specific items that you would have put in the upfront planning and perhaps building the foundational elements of what you would do within the organization in order for you to get started. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
live in an instant-on world, mobile and connected. To compete, you want data center flexibility so you can adapt quickly to changing business needs while keeping information safe. Introducing Enterprise Cloud Compute Services, HP's solution for managing secure servers, storage, and networks, delivered as a service. Pay only for what you need. Create order out of chaos. The instant-on enterprise is here. Are you ready? Start shaping your cloud at HP.com.
We live in an instant-on world, mobile, connected, and fluid. Competing in this world takes a special kind of workplace technology that adapts to change, that allows seamless and personalized interaction. Introducing Workplace 360, HP's full lifecycle desktop management solution, delivered as a service. User subscriptions allow you to gain financial control and flexibility. The instant-on enterprise is here. Are you ready? Visit HP.com for answers.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So, Lionel, let's see if we could outline a few specifics with respect to any upfront planning and or any foundational elements that you would like to put in place where you would be feeling comfortable in pulling the trigger.
In terms of coming to an outsourcing decision, it has to start, it has to be a business decision, not just an IT decision. So whether everything works great within your corporation at the moment, whether IT, you know, and IT support is fantastic, that's fine. You can still, in spite of that good thing happening in your company, you can still decide to explore the outsourcing, you know, avenue. But really, in terms of the, laying the foundation, it's first of all, what is the business objective behind potentially outsourcing? And that has to involve not just IT, but the business overall. What are you trying to achieve? Are you trying to get better service levels? Are you trying to get lower cost? Are you trying to get something different or a combination? Are you trying to align the business requirements and the need for growth with the IT function within a company much better? Again, that's another requirement. So it's all about, as far as I'm concerned, the first step, and it's a big step, is a business decision as to why would you outsource. Once you've done that, it's really a question of deciding internally in putting the RFP together and how you're going to achieve that, how you think you're going to achieve that. So obviously, what would you like to have? Would you like to have, you know, different equipment? Would you like to have, you know, work with different, faster, better networks? Would you like to transform your data center environment? Things like that. So you set up your requirements that way. You send the RFP to the vendors, you know, a broad spectrum of vendors that you think can fulfill those requirements. And then you obviously filter them in terms of who within this list of vendors is going to be the best. And that's not necessarily the ones who just fulfill everything you ask. Sometimes you'd be surprised that some of the outsourcing that works the best is really about, you know, vendors that actually say, you know what, Mr. Customer, this is what you think you want. Absolutely fine, nothing wrong with that, but I think you're missing a trick because you could really do something different around your data center. You could do something different within your work, your desktop environment. And you may, at the end of that process of filtering down to, you know, the top two, three vendors, you may include, you know, companies that you didn't think were, you know, answering 100% of the original remit. And I think that's sometimes overlooked. After that, obviously, it's a question of choice in terms of cost and the service levels and the comfort level that you have within in terms of the relationship between your company and the supplier. So, again, going back to what Peter was saying, it's crucial that you interview the actual team that's going to be providing the service. It's crucial that you check the references. It's also crucial that you investigate whether, you know, the company that you're choosing has some vertical, some industry experience that's relevant to your business. Well, all these things matter.
So, Peter, when you did, suppose, embark upon, and you did actually embark upon this journey, what did you tell your troops internally? Because sometimes it is so intimidating on the surface that it looks like the outsourcing provider – would come and handle it all. But then, of course, we have to wake up and say there are certain responsibilities which are only ours, and that has to be done by us no matter what. So what was your directive for the troops internally to say you cannot expect magic from a provider if we don't do our job? What all are those things which you had to and which everybody else who is going to go on this journey has to do internally?
Yeah. Well, I particularly liked Lionel's suggestion on, kind of listening to the outsourcing provider and don't think you're all that smart and you don't need any help or you can define it all because these guys are in this business and they can certainly help you kind of tweak or maybe take advantage of their strength. But back to the question, what I did in the most recent one, we have engaged on several outsourcing ventures, but the last one was pretty sizable in terms of global scope, and also 40 people changed employment in this particular deal. It's really first of all to engage people from the start and be honest and open and explaining to them what we were looking into and why. There's always a careful balance you need to strike there between not making everybody uncomfortable and worrying everybody when not needed. But once you kind of seriously look at some of these scenarios, you almost have to involve people and get them engaged and get them involved. We also, as Lionel also described, made sure that this was not just an IT decision. We really kind of went all the way to our board of management. And had them not only endorse but actively support this whole program and look at it. But you cannot avoid that for some people, especially people that are personally affected, of course, because things change or maybe because they're part of the outsourcing process, that it will be a very it may be uncomfortable at times. And in that respect, all you can do is basically communicate and be available. To explain what's going on and why things are going on. I think that all applies up front. Once you get going, and I don't want to sound like a broken record because I said it before, but it is extremely important that you have the right people on your end, that you have people that are available, people that actively work it, people that are visible, and that the entire IT management team kind of sings the same tune, so they all support it, all use the same words, use the same key messages, etc., over and over again, to kind of drive home the message that this is not going away. Some people may be in different phases of acceptance, they may be in denial, and you really gotta kind of get over that as quickly as possible.
Now, Peter, can you define what the right people is, in the sense the type of people, the capabilities, and their background and experience and pedigree that you feel are imperative for an organization to have as part of the crew which is going to help in planning and executing on an ongoing basis this workplace IT outsourcing?
Yeah. Well, the most important people are two categories. First of all, people that are organizationally need to be involved. So the most senior people in your IT organization, so the CIO, a couple of his direct reports, etc. And the second group of people I would probably categorize as project managers. So people that are good project managers in the sense that they get the right people in their teams, they communicate, they plan, they hold people accountable, all that kind of stuff. People with a good project management type of profile, even though they may be doing something else at the time, but those would be the right people.
Now, with respect to Lionel, in your world, when you see across the board, do you see a specific set of pitfalls or gotchas or mistakes people make while their intent is to make it successful? But perhaps they have not traveled on this road before, they're likely to fall into those traps. So if you could inventory those, perhaps listeners could benefit.
Sure. I've seen that many times, throughout my career within IDC. But the one thing that's very important when you first embark on outsourcing is not to react too much and not to go back to the contract too often in that sense. What I mean by that is there's always going to be things that will go wrong, you know, within the transition phase, post-transition, when it's, you know, when the solution, the outsourcing contract is live and running. There's going to be things that, you know, especially at the beginning, that are going to go wrong. And those that become successful are really those who have the, you know, the partnership in mind, as opposed to client supplier relationship. The pitfall that I see the most is, you know, at every single hiccup, at every single bump along the road, you know, a customer or corporation will say, hang on, guys, you owe me money for that, or, you know, you broke your SLA on this. And I'm not saying you should shy away from telling your outsourcer that, you know, when they're not doing things right. But in terms of what will make it successful is if you have, and that goes back to the caliber of people that you have on your side as a customer, you really have to go in there with people who are problem solvers, people who are going to be open-minded, and people who are going to be, you know, have the presence of mind to say, okay, we're hitting a bump here, but we need to go through this because there's an ultimate objective, and the objective is for my company as a customer, as an organization, to be successful. And at the same time, you have to look as a customer that it's also very important for the outsourcer to succeed. And if you start the relationship at every single issue, little or big, by going back to the contract and involving, you know, the written word in a sense, that's not a good sign. I would say that that's one of the worst things you can do.
Now, with that said, Peter, question for you. You know, people always have motivation in terms of reduction of cost as one of the key factors why they're even going into an outsourcing mode. So let's take the case of workplace IT outsourcing. You have an agenda where you want to lower cost, but at the same time, you want a very motivated provider so that they do a stellar job. Where is the balance? Or is money the only motivator for a provider to do a stellar job?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because I think for a long time cost has been the overriding factor. And certainly if you go back, you know, 5, 10, maybe even 15 years ago, when outsourcing became big in India, you know, everybody flocked to India because, you know, people are much cheaper there, resources are cheaper there, there's a lot of them, so you can make some significant cost savings. I must say, and we did the same thing. And at Axel Nobel, we have several outsourcing partners with all in all probably 200 or 300 people that work on the Axel Nobel accounts, so really do IT for Axel Nobel in India. I must admit, though, that in the last few years, our reasons to outsource are less and less around money. In fact, it's much more around getting coverage around the clock, getting access to larger pools of resources, getting better quality. So oftentimes what we do is organize it ourselves as good as possible first. So really try to build pieces of infrastructure into a commodity internally so we know what we do. So we don't outsource a mess, because basically you get an outsourced mess and try to have other people solve your problems. But then once we got it organized, once we got it all sorted, then transfer it to an outsourcing partner. And typically, we already got some of the leverage of standardization, some of the benefits ourselves, and the cost advantage is minimal. I have even outsourced in cases where the cost was probably the same or maybe even a little higher, but to get much higher service levels. So for I think this may be a maturity thing as well. I think when with the outsourcing market developing, it becomes more about access to resource and about you know, people leveraging things at a bigger scale, then it's necessarily all about cost. I don't think it's all about cost anymore.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back. And Lionel, I'd like to pose the same question to you, because you do talk to a lot of different providers as well as the adopters of this workplace IT outsourcing, and would like to see if there is a pattern that you see in terms of how
a provider gets motivated and what all things have been tried which have been successful or been unsuccessful in terms of motivating them as well as your internal crew to make this whole experience a more successful and a pleasant one. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
We live in an instant-on world, mobile, connected, and fluid. Competing in this world takes a special kind of workplace technology that adapts to change, that allows seamless and personalized interaction. Introducing Workplace 360, HP's full lifecycle desktop management solution, delivered as a service. User subscriptions allow you to gain financial control and flexibility. The instant-on enterprise is here. Are you ready? Visit HP.com for answers.
We live in an instant-on world, mobile and connected. To compete, you want data center flexibility so you can adapt quickly to changing business needs while keeping information safe. Introducing Enterprise Cloud Compute Services, HP's solution for managing secure servers, storage, and networks, delivered as a service. Pay only for what you need. Create order out of chaos. The instant-on enterprise is here. Are you ready? Start shaping your cloud at HP.com.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjoy Gall.
Welcome back. So, Lionel, same question asking again. Low cost on one end and a motivated provider on the other. And for that matter, how about looking at while you're motivating people, might as well also look within the company to see what would motivate the two groups, one within the company and one the provider, to make this journey a pleasant one.
Yeah, as far as we've done a lot of surveys around this, we've spoken to a lot of end user organizations about this, we've spoken to a lot of vendors about this, but cost was a big, big issue up to 10, 15 years ago. Now it's less of an issue as far as we're concerned. There was, maybe 5 years ago, there was a huge increase of demand in terms of quality of service, in terms of flexibility. Having said that, getting front and the global recession has changed all that. So cost has become a lot more of an issue starting 2007, 2008. Now we're coming out of that, and there's more and more demand for quality of service, for solutions that are not chosen purely on a factor of cost.
So, Peter, in your world, when you have tried to motivate people, I mean, that becomes a bigger issue because that's more about people than technology nowadays. What do you do in order to make sure that these people from within are not thinking about a job loss or other concerns, or they don't get territorial with what they have been nurturing for so long and cradling for so long to just let go?
Yeah, I think for any company that's doing well, there should be opportunities for growth and for developing people and for people to move on into more interesting roles. And the way I look at it, we outsource a lot of our infrastructure type of environments like data centers and like server management and the desktop management, etc., after we made it a commodity, which suggests that it would be less interesting to do in the first place. And in our case, as a company, we grow, we do acquisitions, we have new projects lined up, more than we can execute at any given time. So it's not for lack of work to do. It's not for lack of interesting work to do. So the part of the storyline will have to be that we free up our precious resources to work on new stuff, work on projects, work on exciting stuff, and don't be too much absorbed by you know, day-to-day operations. So if I have a couple of good people, I'd rather have them, you know, work on some acquisition integration than on the next upgrade of our email cluster, server cluster, to give you an example. So it's really kind of redirecting the skills and the people that that we have. Of course, to some extent, that's not always possible. Not everybody has the ambition or the capability or the skill set to move into different areas. But to a large extent, I find that a very effective way to think about our people. Certainly, as you know, people come and go, and any given time, you're looking for good people. So to retain the good people and move them into other areas is great.
So, Lionel, Peter mentioned that they have like multiple outsourcers, that they or providers that they outsource their different part of the infrastructure and their pieces to. Do you see that as a pattern, and is there a reason besides hedging the bets that people go for multi-sourcing in this area, especially workplace IT outsourcing?
Yeah, it makes sense to divide up, potentially divide up your IT function. If you want to outsource most of your IT, to divide that up between, you know, the data center function to one provider, the network and communications to another provider, and you know, the desktop, what I call desktop workplace, to potentially a third provider. It makes sense because it's very, very difficult to find a single provider that can provide everything that's going to benefit you and fulfill your business needs globally. If you're a multinational corporation, it's even more difficult. It's very difficult to find one supplier that can do everything very, very well. So splitting that up is really a way to edging your bets. That's one way of saying. But the other way is really to find the best fit for each individual element. Now, doing that poses its own set of problems in a sense, because you could have the situation that, you know, one vendor will not work very well, or if there's an issue between, you know, the data center and the network, who's, you know, which provider is, you know, is responsible for that. So you need to manage that. But overall, we're seeing more and more multi-sourcing, in the sense that, you know, instead of outsourcing the entire IT, people break it up into chunks, into separate areas, in order to find the best fit within each area, each individual area.
So, Lionel, when you do see such events, or rather outsourcing happening, there is quite a displacement of workers who were working and handling all that big operation that was being run internally.
Yep.
Do you just let go of those people, or is there an opportunity for you to repurpose them and, in fact, get more out of it now that you have somebody who had been living it and now that you've outsourced, but then these people could be of some additional or even more value somewhere else?
Absolutely. Traditionally, outsourcing in the past was really seen as a threat to the internal IT department, to the staff within the IT department. But really, what experience has shown us is that it's actually an opportunity for these guys. Some of them will transfer to the provider and work for the provider, whoever that might be. And that gives them an opportunity in itself, because they're going to work for a company that specializes in IT. I mean, the focus of an outsourcer is IT, their core business. And that's not necessarily the case in your company if you're, you know, the client of an outsourced deal. So that's one thing. The other thing is, by bringing an outsourcer, you can tell, you know, your own staff, instead of, and that's all about communication, really. You can tell them, don't feel threatened by that in that sense, because sure, the outsourcer is going to be there to provide us, you know, an overall service which is better than what we can do, hopefully at a cheaper price, better service levels, but it gives you an opportunity to do high value tasks within the company and to really refocus yourselves on something better for you, better in terms of your career, in terms of, you know, just being at the low end of the spectrum in terms of the IT function, will now reskill you and skill you up so that you can you can take over and deliver different things within the IT organization for our business.
Peter, what all you were able to do with the displaced folks who may have been the result of you know, you outsourcing one or more sides of your organization, and in this context specifically workplace IT. Were you able to repurpose them, and that too in as a result got more out of them?
Yeah. Well, there's really not a hard and fast rule. I mean, you're going to end up in different situations. You're going to end up with a different mix of all these different scenarios, repurposing people, letting some people go, and some people transferring to the outsourcing provider. With regards to the latter, I have sometimes been frustrated with the fact that even though initially we earmark a number of people to be doing exactly that job that the outsourcing provider is going to perform, and therefore we'd be better off being transferred to the outsourcing provider. In fact, you know, when push comes to shove, you find out that that person still does something else and does something else altogether, and then you end up only transferring a part of the people to the outsourcing provider of what you originally expected, and really ending up with a very different reality that you anticipated in your project proposal or maybe even business case. However, back to your question, I think, you know, we have found ways to move people into open slots. There's also, don't underestimate the fact that when you outsource pieces, there may be some new positions opening up in your company as well. In fact, if you outsource, at least what we've done at Akzo Nobel, for all major outsourcing agreements, there is a service delivery manager whose sole job it is to be the contact for that outsourcing provider on an operational and kind of tactical level and represent Akzo Nobel to that outsourcing provider and represent the outsourcing provider to Akzo Nobel. So if they want to call anyone and discuss service delivery or whatever, who do they call? They call the service delivery manager. So there may be new jobs in like a service delivery manager. Also, of course, having somebody kind of oversee the all the IT processes, especially if it concerns incident management, the help desk type of stuff, but also kind of from an architectural perspective, certainly as we go more into cloud-type solutions as well, which basically is outsourcing as well on a kind of a small scale, of course. So that whole mix, to manage that whole mix, manage the individual providers, make sure everything works together, et cetera, also opens up some new jobs. But, yeah, we have moved people into more senior technical jobs and project management roles, et cetera, but I also have examples of where we move people to the outsourcing provider and where we have let people go, to be honest with you.
Lionel, question here is that technology, of course, is moving at a very fast pace. Do you think in this whole workplace IT outsourcing, technology advancements have actually facilitated an easier transition, or it has introduced complexity?
I don't think it has facilitated the outsourcing process, no. Technology is obviously changing and changing fast. We can do a lot more now with, you know, smartphone devices, tablets, and things like that, which we didn't even think about 10, 15 years ago. So in that respect, it's harder to manage from an IT department's point of view, because there's, you know, more devices, more access to the network, more access to corporate resources, corporate applications. So in that sense, it's more difficult for the IT director, for the CIO to do that internally. But that complexity, those technological changes, which are coming, you know, very, very fast, are really pushing, in a sense, the outsourcing message, because you then have a more logical path to outsourcing, because you can tell, you know, internally, you can say, listen, I've got all these things happening, they're happening fast, all these refresh, all the security that I need to provide on all these new devices, all these new connections. Frankly, it's costing me a lot of time and a lot of money to do. Why don't I engage with an outsourcer who is, you know, whose core business is to deal with those issues? So technology in itself did not push outsourcing, but by bringing complexity, by bringing more devices, more connections, more requirements for storage, all these advancements are making it more valid to engage, to at least ask a question internally whether you should outsource or not.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back. And Peter, when we come back, I'd love to get an idea on what is the holy grail of workplace IT outsourcing. What are we trying to get to? And given what the constraints are, whether it is people, process, or technology, how far are we from that holy grail? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The future of online TV is here. View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit voiceamerica.tv today.
We live in an instant-on world, mobile and connected. To compete, you want data center flexibility so you can adapt quickly to changing business needs while keeping information safe. Introducing Enterprise Cloud Compute Services, HP's solution for managing secure servers, storage, and networks, delivered as a service. Pay only for what you need. Create order out of chaos. The instant-on enterprise is here. Are you ready? Start shaping your cloud at HP.com.
We live in an instant-on world, mobile, connected, and fluid. Competing in this world takes a special kind of workplace technology that adapts to change, that allows seamless and personalized interaction. Introducing Workplace 360, HP's full lifecycle desktop management solution, delivered as a service. User subscriptions allow you to gain financial control and flexibility. The instant-on enterprise is here. Are you ready? Visit HP.com for answers.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So, Peter, let's see if you could define Holy Grail when it comes to workplace IT outsourcing. Whatever you've been able to do so far, and once you're done, are you done for good, or is there more coming that you know is going to come, and perhaps whatever current people, processes, and technology status is, that's where we are limited to, but going forward, you see transforming into something else, which is what you want, you're striving for.
Yeah. So, first and foremost, let not anybody think that we've reached the Holy Grail, because we have not yet. And I think the Holy Grail would probably be defined by myself from two perspectives. One would be organizationally, if I don't even realize whether somebody that picks up the phone to help me with my desktop, or somebody that comes up and picks my desktop up and fixes stuff, or some of the report and some of all the other things that are provided. If I don't even realize whether those are provided by in-house or by external people, then I think we're getting pretty close to the Holy Grail. Also, so really the partnership type of thing. And then, of course, that needs to be married to the fact that you do have all the capabilities that you need, and not only the capabilities today, but the agility to move into new areas as needed. So, you know, nowadays, of course, there's a lot to do about mobility, about all kinds of devices, tablets, about business analytics being provided on tablets, etc. So when you have the capability to do whatever you want to do, not everything, don't get me wrong, but do some of these things and move with technology developments, then I think that you're in pretty good shape.
So,
what was the second part of your question?
Yes, you did. And Lionel would love to also get your input on how you see the rest of the world defining Holy Grail when it comes to workplace IT outsourcing. What is it they're trying to achieve? Once they have given it away, then let whatever happen in this world may automatically be transferred over to the provider, and life is good?
Again, I go back to what Peter was saying. There is no such thing as the Holy Grail. It's the way I describe workplace IT or IT in general within companies. It's really a journey, and it never stops. You know, even if you were to find the actual Holy Grail, it might just be the case, you know, this month or this quarter. It doesn't ensure that things will be you know, in a holy grail kind of status in 6 months' time. So it's very important to be flexible. It's very important to be on your toes and to review what you're doing, how effective what you're doing with the provider. So keeping, you know, the providers, you know, in check in terms of the service levels, in terms of the cost profile of the solution to make sure that everything is provided, you know, and obviously the outsourcer is making a profit for sure. Otherwise, they won't work very well. And equally that they're working well for you in terms of achieving your business benefits. But it's really a journey. It's a bit like the security services market. You can feel like because you've loaded the latest antivirus, you can feel very secure right now. But really, when you think about it, it's only at one point in time. You really have to view things in a continuity, you know, in 3, 4, 6 months, 2, 3, 5 years down the line. And it's all about the process and the partnership with the outsourcer, as far as I'm concerned.
Now, when it comes to the actual leadership, do you think we as leaders, in terms of the CIOs and the executive staff, do they need to change a little bit for them to see success in this workplace IT outsourcing? Peter?
Well, we already touched lightly on people's ability to let go of control. And I think nowadays more and more people get used to the fact that they don't have everything in-house anymore and are not able to touch everything anymore, and you just have to work with, you know, piecing pieces together and having service catalog with different bits and pieces provided by different providers, external as well as internal. So it really becomes more of a kind of an organizing type of skill than obviously, you know, technical skills and having all the right structures.
Yeah, I was more referring to the leadership. So, of course, you know, the people who are territorial and are they think technology is something they want to be marrying the and you know, working with all the time, and this is my department. All that is at a mid-level or below. But when we're talking about the executive management of the business as well as the CIO, did you have to change how you thought and what you did in order for you to be able to make this successful?
I don't think so per se. I think the importance of communication and having a vision, an overall vision, and getting people rallied around the end state vision becomes more important. But I think in general, you know, for executives, they should have all the right skills. It just becomes key to make sure that you understand where your middle managers are and get them, you know, with the program.
With respect to SLAs and engagement models, this is the last question, and I'll pose for both of you. Lionel, we'll start with you. If you were to take some salient features of the SLAs and the engagement models, which ones do you see being successful?
SLAs, I mean, SLAs can obviously vary. Really, it's a very, very broad subject. So it's really a question of what do you have right now? What kind of service are you providing internally? And is the outsourcing solution that you are potentially going for going to provide the same levels of service or better levels of service? So I think that's the way I think I'll choose to answer the question. In terms of engagement model, I'm assuming you're asking me about more governance. And if that's the case, I'm not here to endorse any particular governance model, but there's a few out there. There's COBIT, there's ITIL, there's others out there in the market. It's, again, whatever governance model you choose, the question is really to have standards and to have consistency within your organization. That's really what is going to make the difference. If you don't have that, you'll tend to reinvent the wheel. And you'll have less structure in the way you deal with IT issues as and when they appear. So it's all about, through standards, governance model, having some best practice and a model by which you can provide better service to your users.
Peter, besides you, of course, share with us what you think is the best form of SLA and engagement model. To end it, would love for you to suggest what the people who are on the fence and who are kind of intimidated and want to get ahead with this IT workplace IT outsourcing, what should they do?
Yeah, so, you know, I've seen I've seen service delivery from providers which are bad, but still show all greens for the service levels, and I've seen it the other way around. So, you know, these service levels are good, of course, but they're really your ticket to entry. And I know that a lot of people focus a lot on them and, you know, focus on dashboards, on monthly dashboards, etc. We only give it kind of a casual glance. Of course, if things continue to be red, you want to look into them. I think the most important thing for us has been to make sure that we understand what behind, you know, some of the service metrics. We actually changed a number of service levels in year one to make sure that they fit our bill and they are a reasonable standard to measure ourselves against. And I think the most important thing that we have implemented in our agreements is really kind of a continuous improvement type of methodology. So don't just stay put where you are, but continue to try and find things to do better, try to improve, try to move ahead. And I think if you do something like that, you'll be delighting the consumer of IT services. And I think that they'll go a long way in getting, you know, acceptance, getting approval, and really kind of building the image of IT.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, thank you so much, Peter and Lionel. It looks like that workplace IT outsourcing is an upcoming trend. A lot of people are adopting it. Yes, you have to take the right steps and careful steps to make sure that it's a success, and it's not going to be a holy grail that you're going to pursue. It is more going to be an ongoing journey where you'll keep improving on what you want to accomplish in with respect to letting go of your workplace IT. Thank you so much again, Peter and Lionel.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you have any questions, please send us to views@ciotalkradio.com. That is views@ciotalkradio.com. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjog Gall next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.
For the third consecutive year, VoiceAmerica.tv is presenting the Quickie Center.